Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we're going to be looking primarily at verse 13, although we'll look a little bit here at the previous verses, but Matthew 6, verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In verse number 9, Christ commanded, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He's instructing to pray in this manner. In contrast, verse 7, but when ye pray, you know, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And in verse 9, he says, we are to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you think of the heathen and as they pray. You know, they thought they would be praised simply because of their much speaking. You think of the heathen in their prayers, many of the false religions, the false gods that were prayed to, their gods, their religions were based on pagan practices, immoral practices. But in approaching the God of heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is a holy God. He is a reverent God. We ought to show him reverence. He is set apart. We are approaching God in a completely different way than the heathen would approach their gods. We approach him as our Father. He's one who understands. He knows our needs. There is a relationship that we can have with him. We're approaching him with an attitude of submission. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's a dependent cry. It's a daily cry. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a cry from one who wants to keep a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then we come to verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation. And again, I want to point out verse number 9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. You know, when you come to prayer, as you approach the God of heaven, do you ever think about praying in this manner? Or do you just think of maybe the request that you have and this is what I'm going to do? Or is there any conscientious attempt, so to speak, to really pray in the manner that Christ has told us to pray in? He says, and lead us not into temptation. I sense here a cry of weakness. Lead us not into temptation. Think of Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 8 and 9. It says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. Here, the prayer here of the one writing this proverb is that he would be in such a situation in life that it would help him to live for God. That he wouldn't be in a situation knowing his own human weakness and frailty that would cause him to make the wrong decision. Now, we do know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there is always going to be a way of escape in temptation. We also know in James chapter 1, verse 13, that God does not tempt any man with evil. God is never going to tempt us to sin. But as we approach this, lead us not into temptation. Do you recognize your own weakness as a human being, as a frail human being? That the situations of life that you come in contact with, that your cry to God would be, Lord, keep me from situations that would cause me to be open to temptation, that would open the door to me making the wrong choices. You know, it may cause you, you know, it may mean that you won't get that job. Maybe there's this job you've applied for. Maybe it's a really good paying job, but the door is shut. You know, you can either complain about that or you can say, you know what, maybe that's God answering my prayer. Lead me not in temptation. Because God knows that would be a situation that would, that your weak spiritual condition, or maybe it's not your weak spiritual condition, but just our weakness as human beings, you couldn't handle that situation. You know, maybe there is a trip that you want to go on with a friend, and the car breaks down and you're not able to go on it, and you're all disappointed. But maybe it's God keeping you from that temptation. You know, imagine if as a parent, your child requested this of you. You know, there was, they wanted everything in their lives to really guard them from falling to temptation. You know, sometimes think of maybe a young person that's getting to marriageable age. And instead of really submitting themselves to their parents' guidance, they're resisting. Now, why can't I do this? What? Come on, I don't see the problem with this person. And instead of really putting themselves under, instead of seeking for, boy, I need your help. Boy, every opportunity to guard me from the wrong situations, please do so. You know how beneficial, how protective that can be. Or are you going to be like Balaam? You know, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. He wanted to be able to go. He wanted the money. You know, are you just, in a sense, pushing to get your way? Or is your attitude, lead me not into temptation? You know, whether it's a trial, whether it's a temptation, a situation that could cause you to make the wrong decision. Now, obviously, there's always, we understand there is always a way of escape. And if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, it's interesting the context of verse number 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is his common demand. And as we think of lead us not in temptation, with the idea of it's a cry of weakness, understanding our own human frailty in the context of temptations, in the context of testing. Notice verse number 12. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? Lest he fall. We need to always be in a state in which we recognize our human weakness. You know, look at the children of Israel. You know, there's the context here, the children of Israel and the things that they fell into. And we need to recognize our proneness, just like the children of Israel were prone to fall into sin. God will always provide a way to escape. But we must recognize that we are prone to fall. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The hymn writer said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lead us not into temptation. Is that your heart cry? Lord, protect me from temptation. Do we approach God, you know, with an attitude of, I have to have this attitude? You know, here's a decision you're making in life, and there's only one acceptable answer that you're willing to take from God. You know, maybe you're praying about a job and you really want it, and really the only answer you're going to get from God is yes. You know, maybe young person, you're coming to ask your mom and dad, can I go over to someone's house? And you really want to do it. And you're asking them, but really in a sense, you're more demanding it of them. And if they say no, you're saying, but what if I, and you keep, and no, I don't want, well, if I can, you know, maybe your parents know better of what you need. What is your attitude? Is it, Lord, you're in control. Lord, may you keep me from every situation, from every temptation. And notice the next part of the verse. It says, but what? Deliver us from evil. Now, you don't want to be in any situation in life that would encourage you to make the wrong choice. But you want deliverance from it. In Psalm number 91, you know, we have promises for deliverance. Psalm number 91, verse number 3, it says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. You know, but what's the context? Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the what? Secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So there's this cry of a cry that senses our weakness, a cry of weakness, but then there's a cry of deliverance. And this one that is recognizing that God is their deliverer. They have a relationship with him. He that dwelleth in the what? The secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They will be in that place of protection. And as you think of this in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, is that the daily cry of your heart? Is there that daily relationship with God in which you are looking for that deliverance from him? You are seeking for him to guide your pathway in life, where you recognize your own human weakness, your own proneness to falling, and you need his help? Not only do we need to pray it concerning ourselves, but this is something we need to pray for others. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It does say, even in the Matthew 6, deliver us from evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice this verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may what? Be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Then notice verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from what? From evil. You know, as we think of our missionaries, we need to be praying that they are what? That they are delivered from evil. As we go to prayer tonight, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. There's men out there that are seeking to what? To hinder the gospel from going forth. There's men out there that are getting in their pathway, hindering them from, maybe it's a building project that needs to go forward. There's maybe somebody they're seeking to witness to, but there's men getting in the way. And there is evil in the pathway of our missionaries, and we need to pray for the Lord to deliver them from that evil. We need to pray that God would guide them in the right pathway, that for his protection to be upon their lives. You think of the Apostle Paul. You know, he's in Philippi. He goes against unreasonable and wicked men. He goes to Thessalonica. There's unreasonable and wicked men there. We ought to be praying for our missionaries that they would be delivered from evil. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. You know, there are missionaries that fall on the mission field. We need to be praying that they what? That they are delivered from evil. Is that our prayer? You know, it's not just about praying that this person is saved, which is obviously very important. That's a prayer of deliverance from evil. But there are also situations we need to be praying for their moral well-being. But as we come to the end of this prayer, we find that there is a basis for all of these cries. That as we come to prayer, we must recognize. It says in the ending, it says, "For thine is the kingdom." You know, God is the one in charge. God is the ruler. And everything that we pray, we must pray with the understanding that thine is the kingdom. God is the ruler. Let's keep that in mind. God is powerful. For thine is the kingdom and the power. We are praying to an omnipotent God. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us from evil. Why can we pray that? Give us this day our daily bread. For thine is the what? The power. God is the one who has great power. And we can come to him and pray in such a manner because of his power. You think of the heathens, they go to these false gods, but their gods have no power to do anything. You think of the false worshipers as they were trying to get Baal to come down and consume the sacrifice with fire, and they're cutting themselves and they're crying and nothing happened. But we can pray in such a manner because powerful. And recognizing God's power will keep us from those vain repetitions that accomplish nothing. God is omnipotent. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God is worthy of all praise. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy power, for thy glory, they are and were created. You know, everything that we're praying for is about what? God's glory. You know, when we begin to pray because we want to see so-and-so saved, or we want to see so-and-so come to church, because then, boy, what's going to happen if, you know, look at, man, if this doesn't happen, it could look bad for me or something like that. No, it's all about what? It's all about God's kingdom. It's all about him being honored. It's all about him being glorified. You know, it's not about making our lives more comfortable. Give us this day our daily bread. But it's about the Lord Jesus Christ being honored and uplifted. And so there is a basis for our prayers. It's his kingdom. It's not ours. He's in control. It's his power. It's his glory. And even as we approach our prayer time tonight, we must keep those things in mind as we approach God in our personal lives. Even as you start your day tomorrow, do you recognize your human weakness, and you need God's protection, you need God's guidance during your day? Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, if each day we approached it with a sense of our utter helplessness apart from God, how much more would we be able to go through a day having victory instead of defeat? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to see that we are praying to a sovereign God, one who is in control. Lord, to one who is all-powerful. And Lord, to you who deserves all glory and praise. And Lord, how easy it is to fall into our own ways of praying rather than patterning our prayers, Lord, in a way, in a manner in which you would want us to pray. Lord, may you help us to pray in a fashion that would be honoring and glorifying to your name. Lord, may we sense our own human weakness, but may we understand and rest in your glorious power. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.